In the gospel, we pretty quickly learn those disciples really didn't know what was going on. They were afraid to ask. They fought among themselves and wouldn't say why. You know, that kind of consternation and battles have gone on for 2,000 years in our church. What's interesting at the beginning there is, you know, there is only a relationship really in a group like Jesus has between the leader and each individual. They really don't have much of a relationship among themselves, and they don't have any sense of holding together without the leader. Typically in his days, when one of the so-called messiahs or group leaders disappeared, the group disappeared, and that was it. So it's rather interesting as he has to stand there and say, what have I got? Why don't they pay any attention? Why don't they begin to understand? And yet they stayed with him, and they stay after he has died and been raised up. But we have seen so much of this kind of thing in our lives as people of church, in our lives as people in a community. There's always someone wanting to be on top. And what does he say there at the end when he says, receive this child? And whoever receives a child has an understanding. Because a child in their society, while they were greatly loved and needed, had no place. They were about equivalent to a slave, and they were treated about the same way for the most part. And yet you have to understand, in Jesus' day, probably 30% of those born ever made it out of being a child, and only 40% ever made it to adulthood. So the death rate was tremendous, and the need for children was obviously great too, because otherwise how would you continue as a family? But when he says, one of these who has no standing, if you're going to serve, you have to place yourself below them. You can't fight for being above them. Somehow have to be put yourself below them and their needs. Unfortunately, we have forever fought about rank in the church and elsewhere. And the more we fight about rank, the more there is no peace. You know, after Vatican II, there was for a while some sense that we'd gotten rid of this other rank called Monsignor. And when I was in a parish in the Detroit area, we had a young priest who when our pastor was made a Monsignor, he kidded, here comes his magenta magnificence, because he'd have his robe with the magenta colors. When I was working in the office in Toledo, I get a call one day, what is wrong with this bishop? He isn't making priests any Monsignors anymore to give them some kind of recognition for what they do. And somebody asked me, well, what do they call you as a deacon if you do a good job? I said, deacon. Right, you know, trying to get rank out of what you do is what Jesus is holding exactly against. Working for those in need, whether they be children or otherwise, is very strongly where we're supposed to be. We feed, we clothe, we do all the things we can here, and yet none of us can say that we're any better than one of the people we feed or serve. We're not above them. And we can see in our society, and it's one of the things this year is what the continuation of Laudato Si, is who are our neighbors and who are really being destroyed by the way we handle our ecology, our life systems. A couple weeks ago, there was a tour in Cleveland that went along with some of the tours elsewhere and efforts elsewhere, just to talk about that one of the weekends. Well, I went on the bus ride, and we went to different places in town just to see how people were treated less. Now, what was wonderful was when we got to Huff Avenue, someone had taken over lots afterward and now had a vineyard and a small winery. Rising up from a mess that was the riots, if you or whatever you want to call them, was this little effort in the middle there. But we also went out to East Cleveland to Noble Road. And if anybody knows anything of the Noble Road dump, the Noble Road dump was a place where they were supposed to be doing recycling. Well, they were only cycling it into a five-story high pile of trash and leaving the poor neighbors with that. And the neighbors had to go to bat for themselves because they were there in the middle of this thing building. They were in the middle of this, the trucks hauling in, and just all sorts of things. And even the way things were handled, if they'd had a fire in one of their houses, fire hydrants had ceased to work. But someone came in from, I believe, Garfield Heights and helped them to organize and reclaim something of the land. So the pile is gone. There's no longer a five-story high pile. But the poor had to take care of it themselves. I will tell you, there's one funny little thing in this story. There was a fire at the edge of this thing. It was their city councilman's house. They weren't at all unhappy that it was his house because he had done nothing for them and they had no hydrants working. So sometimes there's some revenge without trying. But yeah, how do we end up helping the poor and knowing that that's our call, knowing that there has to be this sense of peace out of what we do, out of who we are? Now, this past week, there was an announcement that a retired bishop, auxiliary bishop in Green Bay, Bishop Morneau, who was, to me, a wonderful guy from his writings, retreat with him, and he figured out that way back at the beginning of his effort as a bishop, he let someone who was a pedophile continue in ministry, and he shouldn't have. But that was in the late 70s, and we hadn't figured out by then that you can't recover someone with that tendency, no matter how much you counsel. And so he decided, 80 years of age, to write to his bishop and say, "I can no longer go out. I have to simply go and spend my life in prayer." But what he's done is to create a sense of peace and a witness of what it means to come to peace for oneself and for others, in that you do it. So that he didn't stand there and say, "I'm right," or do anything else of that. Hadn't been accused, but he knew. That's the kind of peace sense we have to have as we live on this earth, as we live with one another, as we serve whoever is the least among us. And we'd better oftentimes see that we are the least to serve the least and continue on. Our sense of prayer today may well be, how do we learn to be that child who has no value to society and let go of that issue, and then serve in the way that is contrary to the way we often feel. I mean, we feel strength very often, and yet it's not out of strength, but out of giving in to the Lord, submitting to our God, that we serve as faithfully as we can. We come to Eucharist. We come to give thanks for everything the Lord has given us, to give thanks for his presence here among us, and to make sure his presence continues outside that door when we leave. We continue not to look for high places, but the only high place we need to know that we're headed for is with him. And he says, "Do it from a place of humility and love."